Hi, and welcome to the Total Nerd List, the podcast where we make lists and be nerds. I'm Reggie.
I'm Shane.
I'm Tom.
And this week, we're going to talk about our favorite animal sidekicks.
Yay for animals.
Yeah. and I mean animal sidekick. We're talking like, you know, a little woodland creature that follows you around and aids you in your quests.
Bambi. No.
Yeah, Bambi. Exactly. That's it. That's exactly what we're
talking about. I was going to do Chewbacca, and then I was like, it's animal sidekick, and like the Wookiees are their own like species. Like
I did see Chewbacca on a bunch of lists when I was doing research, and every time it always struck me as like, but that they're their own race. That's animals. They're mammals.
So I really, which, you know, I love Chewie and want to talk about Chewie anytime I can. But
just give him a reason.
Just give me.
There are so many more than I thought that there would be, because I had trouble thinking at first about, like, actual pet sidekicks, and then once the ball really started rolling, it's like, and this one, 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 and this hero had one, and this one is a hero.
It was hard to find ones that weren't Disney, to be completely honest, when I was doing the research.
Really?
Because I had, like, three or four of them figured out ahead of time, and then for my last one, I was like, well, what are things out there that people have said, and just looking at them, it was like 30 favorite Disney sidekicks, 30 blah, blah, blah Disney sidekicks, and Disney sidekicks this. And I actually had to search.
I guess they do have a lot.
Disney animal sidekick.
I almost had a complete Hanna-Barbera list because that's all I could think of.
Hey, it would have been fine with us. Well, before we jump into our pet animal sidekicks, what you guys been up to this week?
Well, not much. Anyone who's kept up with our Instagram knows I'm playing a lot of Pokemon.
Gotta catch them all.
Got a very one-track mind lately when it comes to gaming, so I've been playing a lot of Pokemon, and that's sucked up all of my gaming energy, at least. I do like putting shows on that I'm not super interested in following along with while I do that, and so I've been putting on the original Teen Titans cartoon on HBO Max.
Oh, it's so good.
Some really good moments in that one. Good plot lines. Definitely want to do an Aqualad cosplay from that, because that's a cool uniform.
I always liked Aqualad from Young Justice. I always thought, ooh, yes, was super cool. Little gills.
But him and Beast Boy got all competitive about who was better at the sea, and then he was like, I just want to beat Trident, not be the best in the sea. And Beast Boy's like, oh, okay.
Oh, okay. I like that version of Aqualad in the Teen Titans Go cartoon.
He's getting ready to mention
it. He's pretty funny.
Nice.
And he's also competitive with Beast Boy.
About Raven.
And Terra.
But yeah, been doing some Dynamax adventures and Pokemon and posting some screenshots on our Instagram and working on our Instagram a lot. You should follow us at Total Nerd List.
Instagram, Total Nerd List.
And then I ordered some of these Pokemon minifigures. It's like 144 of them from Etsy. I think you can find them on like Amazon too. I think it's just one seller, and kind of seem like knockoffs. I mean, obviously,
they're definitely
definitely not licensed. But I mean, I also did an unboxing on our Instagram of those. So if you want to check those out and their quality, they're
cute.
If you want them for scale accurate pictures and stuff, you're going to obviously be disappointed. But like things like if you have the Pokemon card and you want a little avatar for. Mm-hmm. Like trading card games, they work pretty well for that. And then there's some with incredible detail. So
the Eevee illusions are great. Mm-hmm. Some of the coloring are off. Like there's a Cherubi that you're holding in your hand right now. That should be like a pink and red, not an orange.
Yeah.
Same thing with Jigglypuff. It's the same orange.
Yeah, it's almost like they can't make the pink out for some reason.
Well, they probably have to make the colors slightly different to keep from getting completely sued.
I don't know. That Vaporeon looks exactly like a Vaporeon.
I'm sure there's one slight difference. But, I mean, they're cool little things to just look at.
They're cute. I'm stealing this Togetic one. This is mine. This is going to go either on my dashboard in my truck or on my desk.
Just a little unfortunate. A lot of them have... Some of them have standing troubles.
That's okay. Put a little goo on the bottom.
Put a little goo on the bottom.
Yes.
Chewing gum.
Fun little set. I like setting up random miniatures, so you might see some of these Pokemon fighting dinosaurs on our Instagram eventually.
I saw you did the like magic Thunderbolt coming from Zapdos, which was super cool. You need to do more of those. Those were funny.
I need to figure that out because that's like the AR doodle on my phone. But that's like the only one that kind of looks like a Pokemon attack. So it'd be like all thunder attacks.
Well, that's your homework, Thomas. Figure out your doodle thing on your phone.
Yes.
But yeah, that's basically been my week. I'm just constantly exhausted over the last probably 3 weeks. And I think a lot of us have been in the same boat. I've been just on one speed.
Coasting through. Yeah. It's summertime, so there'll be plenty of rest coming up soon.
And thank God it's not dark all the time anymore.
Oh. Sunshine and outdoors and water activities.
Warm, broken air conditioning.
Yay. Our office has been really hot. The air conditioner's been broken.
Oh, no.
So that's been fun. Well, Shane, what's your week look like?
Well, first I have to do a referendum. Is that what it's called? Maybe. I need to make a correction.
You're going
to
correct an error.
So last week when I referred to Mr. Barry Nelson's series, I called it the McKenzie Falls. It's actually called the McKenzie Files, which we talked about and I got correct in the interview, thankfully. But I did want to correct myself in case any listener searched for that title under something I said live as opposed to recorded. But
Well, it happens, especially when you're Southern, sometimes falls and fowls sound the same.
Yes, but I was very clearly saying falls because I thought it was falls in my head.
I should have just taken that get out that I was giving you.
No, I don't want that out. I want to be wrong in this case.
So it's COVID brain.
COVID brain.
Yes.
We still
there
have
we go.
Brain.
But McKenzie Files, be sure to check it out. Also, Parallels of Time by Mr. Andrew Kerr.
Boom.
Yes. All right. Moving on to this week, I started playing again my Miitopia on my 3DS. And I finally made it to the halfway point where my team gets abducted and I'm left alone and I have to start from scratch and I get three more Miis. And I got a new choice of what to be. I couldn't be the knight that I was before. And I got the choice of some new options of a cat, a scientist, or... Oh no, I can't remember what the third one was now.
Well, whatever the third one is, it's not what you picked.
No, it wasn't because I went through and if you press the button, you can see what you look like in each one. And somehow I select a cat.
He's adorable.
It's awful.
It's adorable.
Wait, so you're a cat in your Mii game?
Yes. Yeah,
he's like that orange. Is it yellow?
It's yellow. Yeah, my Mii is
yellow. It's a yellow cat. It's so cute.
I wanted to be the scientist, but whatever, it's fine. An imp. That's what the other one was, which I would have chosen over cat as well, but...
Like an imp? Like a weird...
A weird little...
S&M?
No, not quite the leather wearing. Just like a little teeny tiny cute devil.
No, Shane's a little kitty cat. He can't be a devil.
I know, I wanted to be the scientist, but... I'm still working on that progress, and I've accepted that for the rest of the game, I'm going to be a cat, because I'm not starting over and losing my progress.
Oh, you won't get to change it at all on the way again?
Nope.
Oh.
Unless, I don't think so, because I was told that the halfway point is when your team members are stolen, and I finally reached that. But if I complete my 3DS, then I will allow myself to get it on the Switch, which added some new features. I don't think the story is too different, but it's a really fun game.
As long as you're having fun.
Can you win a saucer of milk? Of cream?
No, the food in the game is weird. Everyone's being picky about what I feed them, and it's based on what the enemies were. So, like, when I defeat goblins, I get goblin meat. When I defeat these little floating plaques, I get, like, toast.
Makes sense, you know.
So, Miitopia is really fun. I started my June book, which is Something Like Summer by Jay Bell. I am absolutely loving it. I want to put a good dent in that. Like, I started reading 2 days ago, so For me, I'm in a good place, but I want to get further in the book.
How far is that?
I'm about 60-some pages in, which for me in 2 days is kind of a lot.
Nice.
I also...
60 pages in, that would take me like a month.
My reading speed is getting fast as I do this book a month thing, and so it makes me really happy. But I have a friend who's like, I'll probably read 3 books this week, and I'm like, I hate you.
Hey, more props to those people who can read really
exactly.
Fast,
I'm like, are you really enjoying it?
I can audible that many books in a week.
Oh,
there you go. But I also started. I I made up this little tradition on my own because I like to fall asleep to TV at night, and I usually pop in an older cartoon DVD because I used to suffer from night terrors, and usually if I watch cartoons before bed, I don't get them as badly.
Oh my god, that's like literally when I got a portable DVD player, mm-hmm. like when I started sleeping through the night, like in my room.
Yes. So every June I was watching Batman the Animated Series, and I finished that, and I have started Batman Beyond, and so this June I'm on season 2.
Ooh. Terry McGinnis?
Yes.
Right? Is that mm-hmm. Batman Beyond? An old Bruce Wayne.
Very much so.
I remember him whacking some guys with his cane.
Yes.
He does it a lot.
I also remember like a lot of like rave dancing in the, mm-hmm. the theme song.
Uh-huh. The theme song is almost seizure-inducing.
It wasn't the
intro
game... The group of the gang members that were cards,
the Royal Flush.
The Royal Flush, isn't that a bunch of storyline in that show?
In love with one of them, doesn't he?
Ace or something like that.
I remember him getting with a girl and being like really into her, and then finding out she's evil.
Yes, I think
not evil, but like stealing.
Actually, I think that was the
family.
10.
Was it the 10? I think maybe either I saw that episode 100,000 times or
that episode made me so sad.
Because you love them.
Well, and something else happens with them, too. So I thought the same thing, like, they're really prevalent. In season 1, they only had one episode, and I literally just started season 2, so I watched the first episode, but that was it. Huh. And I'm like, they have to be more prevalent in the future seasons. Right?
I swear there's a bunch of episodes with
yes.
them.
Yes, and I like them, so I'm looking forward to them, and I remember certain scenes that I haven't come upon yet.
Nice.
And their introductory one was not that.
Boom.
I was going to say, who would win, Nightwing or Batman Beyond Batman?
Nightwing. Yes.
Terry McGinnis is a little punk.
He is.
But with better technology.
Future technology.
Nightwing is in that era, too. Bruce mentions it. We don't ever see him, sadly. But he's with the Titans. Ooh, I want that. Listeners, Reggie just showed me a picture of a really cool tire cover that has the Nightwing symbol.
And it was like a Jeep, and the Jeep was like
blue,
Nightwing blue
color.
It was perfect. I completely forgot to show you.
Whoever has that car, I will take it.
We need our fans to buy Shane like a Nightwing themed
car.
Mustang. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I'll take it.
Get on it, fans.
But, and finally, one other thing I've been doing is continuing my watching of Handmaid's Tale, which I watched today. Got some answers on Janine. But no matter what, when I watch that show, it makes me angry.
Is she okay?
I don't know. I can't spoil.
Spoilers.
Are you just going to throw Janine's health out?
Janine
like
was
that?
Not the real reason why I was mad at this week's episode.
Boom.
So there we go.
I don't know. The show gives me too much anxiety. I get panicky just mm-hmm. thinking about,
oh, and I understand
about
why.
Watching it.
I completely get it. But yeah, so that's been my week. What about you, Reggie?
Sounds like you had a good week.
Yes.
Mine's been laid back. I mentioned before, I got Resident Evil 8. I did eventually beat that. I don't mm-hmm. know if I ever mentioned that or not. One thing that's kind of touched my heart is that my kid and I have now started playing Resident Evil 5 together.
Nice.
So, and then he, of course, sat there and watched me play Resident Evil 8. He watched a bunch of walkthroughs
mm-hmm.
of people playing it before playing it with me. So he was able to give me, like, little hints every now and then, especially during the second Lord stuff, which is where you have to deal with the doll maker. That's terrifying. I will literally tell you that was like the scariest bit of gaming. I'm actually doing a replay on a harder difficulty, and I'm at that point again, and I haven't played it because I'm waiting for Ethan to be available to help me. and then also my husband and I started playing Resident Evil Revelations 2 together again, but this time we're playing with the other character.
Mm-hmm.
We're switching who we played the first time as. Because in order for Ethan and I to play Resident Evil 8, I had to get a membership to the Game Pass on the PlayStation.
They have Game Pass too.
Yeah, so we have a couple months of that, and all of the Resident Evils are on that, including Code Veronica, which I don't know if I hate myself enough to go through and try to play again.
I was going
to
say, is that a rare one or something, or just a bad one?
No, it's a great game, but it's like the original 1, 2, and 3 gameplay style
mm-hmm.
before they updated it with 4 and 5 and so on. For me personally, it might be unplayable,
mm-hmm.
But there's like a fan-made Code Veronica being made right now. that I'm very excited about to try whenever it comes out. And then also there's been rumors flying out the wazoo that 4 is coming out soon as a remake, which will be very, very
exciting. I was going to say, yeah, those rumors are all over the place.
Like, everywhere I've looked, any kind of Resident Evil news, it's about that or the Netflix show that's coming, which is very exciting. So I guess my week's been very Resident Evil heavy. also, I'm going to start playing Dungeons & Dragons with Thomas and his brother and my husband, and my child is going to play, our child is going to play, and... so I'm going to be a Triton Bard, and I finally got my character completely finished and all my stats rolled, and I got, Corey got me some Bard cards to play. So we're about, I don't know, maybe a week away from actually doing it. We just need to pick a day and get everybody available. And so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah. I still can't pronounce what my character is, but it basically boils down to I'm a teleporting bird man.
Aesimer, something like that.
Aarakocra.
You can hit the button on the app and it'll say what it is.
There's an app.
We need to do that.
I don't D&D listener, so they're not excluding me, but...
No, we're specifically excluding Shane. Shane is not being excluded. He is actually going to be the damsel that's locked up in a tower that we have to go save.
There we go.
That's his role. So he doesn't actually have to show up for any of the games until we make it to the tower. So that's why.
So we've got that long to win him
over. We've got that long.
Yeah. There you go.
It'll be fun. I'm really excited about it. But that's pretty much been my week.
Awesome.
Television, normal. We've been watching... the show on HBO called the Black Lady Sketch Comedy Show.
I hear great things about that show.
It is so funny. The second season just came out, so we finished that. We've actually started rewatching the first season and like making our way through it again because it was that funny.
One of my favorite podcasters, Lacey Mosley, is in
the second season.
In the second season,
she's hilarious.
She's got the Scam Goddess podcast. It's a basically a comedy podcast talking about like major scams throughout the years. So
that's pretty fun. I have to give that a listen.
She's hilarious.
And then The Nanny, of course, Bad Girls Club, still making my way through that. So really boring week besides Resident Evil stuff.
Yeah, you told me about an unfortunate cereal throwing incident on Bad Girls Club.
Yes. It was not unfortunate. It was purposely on purpose. We're watching season 7 of the Bad Girls Club. It's on Hulu. And there's some crazy ladies up in the show. It's basically a show about these quote-unquote bad girls put into a house for like 8 months with an unlimited supply of alcohol. And then, you know, let the cameras roll. This girl puts cereal and milk in a pot and walks into another girl's room who's asleep and goes, "Are you hungry?" and just flings it on her. Well, the girl who had the cereal throw on her, of course, gets up and, I mean, whoops her butt. And that's what I was talking about today at work. Nice. It's like, oh, yeah, we're rewatching the show. And this really, you know, classic piece of cinema, really outstanding and filmography.
The show's no longer producing new episodes, right?
I don't think so. God, I hope not.
Well, see, I was going to say, I miss the days of the kind of really, oh, is trashy the right word? Like the VH1, like I Love New York, oh, all of those. God, I miss those so much. Yes. Flavor Flav, Frank's Basement Affair, Megan Wants a Millionaire.
I loved all of those types of shows. You know, one that I miss is the Surreal Life?
The Surreal Life.
Not the one with Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie, but the one where it was like B celebrities living in a house.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. I don't know what it's called.
I can't remember what it was called, but I loved the season with Tammy Faye, Mesner, and Vanilla Ice. that was a great season.
Oh, God. VH1, bring them back.
Bring them back.
I will watch them every single episode.
I mean, Oxygen is the one who did the Bad Girls Club. I don't even know if Oxygen is still a channel or
not. It is.
It is? Okay, well, maybe they're still making episodes.
It has all of my murder shows on it.
Is that what Oxygen is now, the murder show channel?
All of my stories.
All your stories. Well, we've had a pretty good week all in all. I'm excited to dive into Sidekicks, though.
Me
too. You guys
too.
Ready?
Yeah, yes. This is one of those lists where I was like, this is going to be easy because there's only like 5 animal sidekicks ever. There's a lot more than 5.
What are the 5 that you originally thought of?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I was just like, there's nothing to choose from. I guess Scooby-Doo, but then obviously started thinking about it, and there's a lot of animal sidekicks.
I actually am ashamed of myself that I did not think of Scooby-Doo until I was done with my list, and then Scooby-Doo popped in my head. I was like, well, I like Scooby-Doo, mm-hmm. but Shane's going to have that. I guarantee it. So
I have something about it.
Or Scrappy, or
Who has Scrappy-Doo down?
Okay, I liked Scrappy-Doo in the cartoons. They did him dirty in the movie where they made him the bad guy. But I will always love the live-action movies because that's got my girl, Sarah Michelle Gellar, in it. All right, so I'm excited. I'm ready to do this one. Animal sidekicks.
Let's do it.
Coming in hot with number 5 on my list is Boobo. Do you guys know who Boobo is? It's an owl.
I don't think so.
He's a mechanical owl that Athena gives to Perseus in the Clash of the Titans and those movies. And it's a bird that comes in and helps him on his adventures and stuff. When I was a... Did I say it's a kid that comes in? It's an owl that comes in to help. When I was a kid, I had the Clash of the Titans VHS, and I watched the crap out of that. I loved that old school type of monsters and like fake people in suits doing fights and like the claymation type of stuff thrown in there. So that owl was something that immediately popped into my head that I was like, oh, I have to put him on there. Next on my list is going to come as no surprise, but the only sidekick worth having, Flounder from The Little Mermaid.
I knew he would be on your list.
That little guppy. Of course, everyone out there listening knows my obsession with The Little Mermaid and Ariel's 2-3 companions that she had in the whole thing is Flounder, Scuttle, and Sebastian. Sebastian was annoying narc, Scuttle was too dumb of a bird, and then Flounder was like her best friend who went on the adventures with her, got in trouble with her, told off her dad, King Triton of the entire ocean. I mean, that's a sidekick right there. That's the Robin to her Batman.
Yes.
Next on my list is Kodo and Podo.
I don't know them.
They're ferrets. They're the ferrets that belong to Beastmaster, the 80s Arnold movie. Is it Arnold? It might not be Arnold. I thought it was. But Beastmaster, he can control beasts, and he's got like the golden eagle. I think its name is Dar. I loved that movie as a kid. Again, it was one of those, I think it was 1982, and... Who was the lead in that? It was not Arnold. I always thought it was, but it was Mark. Maybe Mark Singer is what IMDb quick search looking up it was. But Rip Torn is in that movie. but it's an old 80s movie. Ancient warrior with the ability to communicate telepathically with animal allies, sets out to stop the crazed plans of an evil high priestess named Max. And save his friends.
Max.
It was M-A-X. M-A-A-X.
Oh, Max. Oh, yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that was Rip Torn's character as well. But anyway, there were two ferrets that he kept in his like little pouch. And he would like send them out and they'd go do stuff. I think that might have become where my obsession with like little rodents.
It's like a vague memory of like ferrets being kept in pouches and being sent out. But that's it.
By a half-dressed man and nothing but a loincloth. I don't remember much past that. next, coming up on my list. And I know those were two, but those two went together.
They went together. They count as one.
And I also, these two go together and count as one. And I know I was the one who said that there were a lot of Disney sidekicks. So it's hard to get out of. But Miko and Flit from Pocahontas.
Okay.
The raccoon and the hummingbird.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Like, yes,
they were always
I do now.
Together.
It's been a hot minute since I've seen Pocahontas, but...
Pocahontas, terrible, terrible, terrible representation.
Of course.
Terrible history, whitewashing of it. Still a good movie, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I really loved Pocahontas when I was growing up. I actually saw it in theaters when I was a kid, and we specifically, like, in school, did a Pocahontas play thing, and I wanted to be Pocahontas. Like, I thought it was funny, a boy being Pocahontas. Well, my teacher let both me and a girl be Pocahontas.
Aww.
But I was just dressed up like a boy, and we did, like, the whole Thanksgiving feast mm-hmm. and everything like that. Pocahontas needs to have a disclaimer at the beginning of it, like the rest of the Disney yeah. movies with it. But, you know, it still shouldn't detract from these two characters. Mm-hmm. The raccoon that was always trying to get those little
crackers
from John Smith, and then the hummingbird that just hated him. I always thought that those were just so adorable and cute, even as a kid, like that hummingbird. Oh my gosh, that hummingbird was so cute. I wanted a toy of it. I wanted a real one. I wanted something. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you're a kid and you like something like that, you kind of become obsessed with, seeing hummingbirds for a little while. I gotta find
them. They're really fascinating.
They're so cool. At my parents' house in high school, after I was adopted and everything, we had hummingbirds out the wazoo, so mm-hmm. that was able to be fulfilled eventually.
And they drink sugar water?
Sugar water. Don't put red food coloring in it.
No.
They'll drink it just fine without it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay. Finally, on my list, the number one BA cool sidekick mm-hmm. of any person, Salem the Talking Cat from Sabrina the Teenage Witch. And I'm talking Melissa Joan Hart, Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I'm not saying anything bad about the Chilling Tales of Sabrina, because that was a great show.
True.
But Salem didn't
Salem
talk
doesn't
in that.
Really and, have a role. Like, yeah. He gets one episode in the fourth season.
Oh, finally?
Mm-hmm.
Do you find out if he's actually a person turned into a cat or not?
No.
In the Teenage Sabrina the Teenage Witch with Melissa Joan Hart, that was the whole thing, is that he was a witch that did something bad.
Was he?
I can't remember. And his punishment was being turned into a cat.
Which is why he could speak.
Which is why he could speak and everything. Gosh, I wish I could remember why Salem was turned into a cat. It was something... Maybe he stole something. He held something for ransom.
I honestly forgot that aspect of it.
Hey, Sarah.
Yeah, right. I'll just edit all this out. The little time that we're going to take Salem
That's
the cat
fine.
Why is...
But they used to real cat in the Chilling Adventures. Which, and the lead actress who played Sabrina, whose name is Kieran Sharpley, I don't know,
Kieran
something, was allergic to it, which I think was another reason why Salem probably didn't become a huge thing, and he was also just supposed to be her...
Familiar,
yeah. That was it.
I mean, Salem was kind of Sabrina's familiar. Salem was a witch sentenced by the Witch's Council to spend 100 years as a cat with no magical powers. Because as punishment for his attempt to take over the world, that's what he did. And so
that Chilling Adventures Sabrina episode with Salem makes so much more sense now.
Oh, okay. I still haven't watched the last season. I'm a terrible.
You should.
I know. I'm
just for that. The episode alone is one of my favorites.
Oh, okay. Well then I'll have to get out
so,
of
it. So would he ever be like, I used to destroy empires before I was a cat?
Well, I mean, he would always do, like, he would say something snarky and mm-hmm. then be like, "Whoa!" sometimes. Did you not watch much Sabrina?
I watched it in and out. I would, like, watch it when it would come on.
It's part of that TGIF
thing. Yeah.
Lineup. And I love me too. Some TGIF growing up.
Boy,
TGIF, and then one Saturday morning.
Yes.
Come on, my life was complete.
Perfect.
One of my favorite things about Salem, and I will be amiss if I don't mention this, is Bobunk. Have you guys ever remember the episode of the holiday Bobunk?
No.
Okay, so Sabrina does something where she's being like a Grinch and she messes with Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it where like Christmas isn't a thing. And during the episode, she has X amount of time to fix what she did or it will be permanently gone. And Salem mentions, like, because you don't want to be like me and, you know, nobody ever gets to enjoy the joyous of Bobunk Day. So every now and then I like to think, like, oh, what day is Bobunk Day? I think there was an actual day that they decided on, but quickly Googling it, I'm not seeing anything. But yeah, best holiday ever, Bobunk, Joyce Bobunk, everyone. That's my list.
It's a good list. I like it. It was very fun.
I liked it.
Oops. All right, Thomas.
Okay, so mine. I ended up with a bunch of honorable mentions, but...
honorable mention, Timon and Pumbaa.
And Binks.
Oh, Thackeray Binks. Yeah, I forgot that one.
Wait, what? Binks?
Thackeray Binks from Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, okay, Hocus Pocus is what I thought.
That was going to be an honorable mention on mine. I just forgot to write them down.
But starting at number 5 on mine is Hedwig. I loved Hedwig.
From?
Harry Potter.
Oh, okay, that's why I didn't do it.
Yeah, sorry. Hedwig's one of those I didn't feel like needed an introduction, but Hedwig is from Harry Potter. It's Harry's owl. Spoiler alert.
Don't even say it, no!
Dies protecting Harry from the Death Eaters, which was supposed to be like the death of innocence, but
nope. Done with it already.
A senseless and unneeded death.
Unneeded.
Like Dobby's.
Hedwig should have just like gone and like hung out in the wild for a bit and then come and like peck someone's eyes out when they're about to like take Harry to the Malfoy Manor or something. Because even the owl they got to play Hedwig in the movies just seemed like such a dependable animal sidekick that I would talk to all the time.
I know Hedwig was his owl, but was it also his like familiar?
What's a familiar? I've heard that a couple times now. Like
familiar is like it's normally a animal that like is like a spiritual guide for witches, and so it just kind of depends on what. Version you're talking about.
Yeah, it was mostly just like a postage owl that he'd talk to when it would bring him mail. But yeah, still, it was like one of Harry's first friends because he was in such a crappy situation. Number 4, Gary from SpongeBob. I just love for a character that only said one thing, how much sass they got out of Gary, and just
he still makes no sense to me.
I love Gary and SpongeBob. I'm not a huge SpongeBob fan, but I do love Gary.
I'm in like until 2006 SpongeBob fan, early seasons, but yeah, Gary had some really good episodes, especially the one where he went to go live with Patrick.
And I think I saw that.
I just love the meowing and think he was adorable. Number 3, Sam from the Will Smith I Am Legend, the German Shepherd. I don't know why I chose depressing ones, but...
Yeah, you're like trying to hurt my heart over here.
I don't know this one either.
Yeah, so in the remake of I Am Legend with Will Smith, he has a German Shepherd that is like his only friend. And basically... Spoiler alert, Will Smith gets caught in a trap because he was being arrogant and
were able to set traps.
Yeah. And Sam didn't leave his side the entire time, and then Sam gets hurt and catches the virus that is going around and he has to put her down. So it was probably, I would say, like, besides Artax and Neverending Story, was probably one of the most upsetting animal deaths of my entire life.
Yes. In the sinking mud thing. Oh yes. My god, you literally are trying to make me cry right now.
But yeah, like that probably hurt me more than like any animal death I've ever seen in a movie. I don't know if I just avoid animal deaths, which is normal.
I will tell a quick, very quick story. I'm sorry to interrupt. I obviously was adopted. Before I was adopted, I lived with my birth father and his second wife, who was my stepmom. She's not a very great person. However, the one thing that I will say that she did for me, I never knew how Old Yeller actually ended until I was in eighth grade and we watched it in school.
Oh.
And I lost my crap because I did not know that the boy goes and shoots his dog Eleanor always stopped the movie before it got to that point. So I literally was spared that until I was in eighth grade when we watched it in
school. I don't even know why we read that book in school or watch the movie.
Yeah, it was because we read the book and...
But so, why? I can't. I can't.
I say we read the book, but I didn't read the book.
No.
Anyway, that was my story. Sorry, go ahead.
Good. Number two on my list, Jones, the cat from Alien.
Yay.
Oh, I remember this one. I know one of his, finally.
Yeah, I have a cat named Jones. We call her Jonesy, but it's literally based off of that movie. She's and the reason why I love Jones is because Jones is like an animal counterpart in the movie that outlives all of the humans except for Ripley. And I'm pretty sure my cat Jones, if there was a xenomorph loose in my apartment, would be the last one standing because she'd
be hiding the best.
She is good at hiding. She doesn't mess around. Like she's like our lovey dovey cat that'll sit in your lap, but like she will not come near y'all until y'all have been here for like months.
No.
Cause she's just a little survivalist. Like, so when the mower comes, she'll, open cabinets and like get in them, and we just like won't be able to find her, and we'll like pull out a drawer and she'll be in there. So she's gone missing in our apartment a couple of times, just being a good hider.
Well, that's perfect because those are the types of places you need to hide from a xenomorph in.
And then number one, I had to go with this one because this is just like the first one that came to mind, but Scooby-Doo.
Ruby Roo.
I really liked Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? I feel like it was that show that was always on, like, on boring Saturday afternoons if, like, you had nothing to do or it was raining or something.
The 70s one?
The very first one. The 69.
Okay.
They were always on. They were always on the weekends on Cartoon Network, I feel like, when I was in, like, middle
school. The good old days.
Cartoon.
So I, you know, just happy memories. Hanging out on the couch, but also my cousin Andy, he grew up with that Scooby-Doo, so like he was really into it, so it was like actually something that, and he was like one of my favorite cousins, is one of my favorite cousins, and it like was something we always had in common, would joke about and all that stuff. And then of course the Johnny Bravo Scooby-Doo crossover.
Oh my God, that's the best.
Might be one of the best episodes of television ever.
Strictly, yes, me?
Strictly for Fred being thirsty.
Velma was awful thirsty too.
Velma's always low-key thirsty.
True.
They just don't like ever bring attention to it. But wasn't that like the first time that they ever actually like drew attention to the fact that it's always Fred and
yes.
Daphne going off, wank, wank, nudge, nudge.
Well, and then
saxophone music.
Kenny G comes out. And
also, the Scooby-Doo roller coaster was my first roller coaster.
Oh, my God, my
Terrawins! One of my first big person roller coasters.
It's not there.
It's completely gone now?
I don't think Scooby-Doo is there anymore.
Well, Scooby-Doo isn't, but
it's not Scooby-Doo, but it's been a couple
other things.
It was
made into the Peanuts at one point in time.
It was still
the same coaster, though?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Unless they tore it down.
No.
But yeah, it was purple back then. It was the Scooby-Doo Ghoster coaster.
I loved it.
At least when it was Nickelodeon Land, it was Cosmo and Wanda were the cars, and it was still purple.
It will always be Scooby-Doo.
I love Fairly Odd Parents as well.
I had a hilarious pic because my dad wasn't a fan of roller coasters. And I have a video of him riding it with me, or a picture of him riding with me. And he just looks like he's not enjoying himself at all. But
it's a good first one. It's my first.
But yeah, love Scooby-Doo. Just think he's hilarious. I really liked the live action movies that came out in my life. Time or the only live action movies. I assume you didn't like it very much.
No.
I didn't like what they did with like Scrappy Doo in that at all, because I really just don't like Scrappy Doo because of those movies.
You and everyone else.
I love the movies.
I like them.
I love them. But that could also be because I love Sarah Michelle Gellar, and no matter what she does, I will always be like, yes, girl, that's the best acting you've ever... That's it.
It was cast so well. I can't deny that. It was cast so well, but I don't know. I'm a snob, and I like classic Scooby.
Song.
69 through 80s. Yeah.
I'm not a huge Freddie Prinze Jr., mostly because he took my woman from me. but I agree with you. Like, and Linda, is it Linda
Cardellini?
Cardellini, mm-hmm, as Velma, and Fred Willard. Not Fred Willard.
Frank Welker did the Scooby voice, I think.
Oh, who is Matthew Shaggy? Lillard. Matthew Lillard, mm-hmm, thank you.
Who is still our current Shaggy voice, and I like it.
Oh, does he really?
He did a really good Shaggy was great in those movies. You have to admit, mm-hmm, that, right?
Oh, absolutely. He is Shaggy. And like I said, it was so well casted. I mean, Freddie Prinze Jr., I think, was probably the weakest, honestly. No offense.
He's just weak.
But yeah, it was cast pretty well, and Linda Cardellini she did Hot Dog Water and Mystery Incorporated, which is one of the newer Scoobies that I actually really enjoy. But yes. But just Scooby knowledge. I gotta stop or I'll just go on.
Because I'm sure we'll be talking about Scooby-Doo again.
No, that was it. That's the last time on this podcast.
Yeah, that's number one. Good family memories. Good,
I like it.
Saturday memories. Loved the knockoff Beatles or rip-off Beatles songs.
Oh my god, I'm in love with an ostrich. It's my favorite.
It's like, we're gonna love all day and all.
Yes.
All weekend long. While running away from... And it's always gross white men who,
of course,
trying to get rich.
There were other villains. There was that lady that one time who was that witch.
Yes, they have ladies sometimes. Though the first witch and zombie episode is two men.
Yeah, it was two men.
But yeah, honorable mentions. I actually pared this down a lot, but Seymour Fry's dog from Futurama.
Oh no!
Not gonna because I don't want to make Reggie cry. Allison wanted me to mention Crookshanks from Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. That's one of her favorite characters. Spunky from Rocko's Modern Life. That's like one of my favorite cartoon dogs.
Rocko's Modern Life,
mostly because he is like made of Play-Doh or something. And then Rufus from Kim Possible.
Corey, my aww, husband, also said Rufus.
He was the naked gerbil, right?
Naked mole rat.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Do the naked mole rat.
Exactly. There we go.
I have that song on my phone. Whatever.
And if I had watched more Phineas and Ferb, I would have said Perry. The Platypus.
I thought about putting Perry the Platypus, but I do not think that Perry the Platypus was anybody's sidekick. He was a pet, and then he was a secret agent. So that's why I didn't put him. But that's my own narrow-minded.
Yeah, he was kind of independent. Mm-hmm.
He was just like, oh, look, there's Perry. But yeah, that's a really good list.
Well, thank you.
Shane, yes. you got something special for us before we hear your list?
I do. I have the top 10 best pet sidekicks according to GQ.
Oh, GQ magazine.
At number 10, yes. Toto from Wizard of Oz.
Toto. But again, it's not a sidekick, really. It's just
kind of a pet. He's kind of a sidekick, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he does, like, bite the leg of... Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, fine, whatever.
Number 9, Hedwig from Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
As we already mentioned. Number 8, Iago from Aladdin.
Yes. Gilbert Godfrey is the voice of it too. Look at me, I'm molting.
Oh,
I swear he flew the plane we took to Disney World one time because our pilot looked and talked like Gilbert Godfrey.
Maybe it was. He wasn't acting, you know.
He flew us to Disney World.
Number 7, Pascal from Tangled.
Yes, the little chameleon.
Is he a frog or chameleon?
It's a chameleon.
Okay.
Because he keeps changing colors.
I'm only looking at a picture and he's green in the picture, so.
I love Pascal.
Number 6 is Pikachu.
Almost made my list.
But is that a sidekick?
He's kind of Ash's sidekick.
Yeah, he...
Yeah, I mean, he's his partner.
And mm-hmm. He fights crime with him.
He doesn't really fight. I mean, he takes a bite out of it every now and then.
I mean, Ash always saves him for last so he can save the day. If he just started Pikachu, it'd be done sooner.
Yeah. But then we would have an episode.
True. Number 5, Pegasus from Hercules.
No.
Aww.
Especially baby Pegasus.
He's so toot.
Number 4, Salem from Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh, what did I say?
Number 3, Sebastian from The Little Mermaid.
Who just passed away?
He did. Samuel E. Cartwright.
No.
The voice of Sebastian.
Yeah, that's
I think
terrible.
He passed away like a week or two ago.
Mm. Number 2 is Chewbacca from Star Wars.
Not an animal.
not an animal.
He's an alien.
I mean, if anything, yes. He's
yeah, an alien race.
But aren't they all aliens to Earthians? What? To us?
Humans.
There we go.
Earthlings.
Earthlings and humans.
Yeah, I mean, they're from their own planet.
Mm-hmm. So technically. But finally, rounding out the list at number one, Donkey from Shrek.
He almost made my list.
That ass. And in the morning, I'm making waffles.
I had to dress up as Donkey for a... I wasn't in when Beanstalk did Shrek. Mm-hmm. I wasn't Donkey, but we had to do like a fundraising of, or like a viral marketing at the mall or something. And the guy playing Donkey was out of town, so I had to be Donkey. And we had a customer at the office I work at who... still to this day will come and be like, are you the ass? Because he saw me at the, and it's always just like the deadpan. And he'll ask other people if the ass still works there.
Oh my God.
I'll try to remember that if I ever answer the phone and somebody says, does the ass work there?
I haven't seen him in a while, but yeah, there's I still get referred to as an ass at work because I dress up as a donkey in the mall one time.
Oh my gosh. It was one time 20 years ago. Well, that's a fun little list.
Yes.
I don't know if I agree with all of them. I think, you know, at least five of them should have been the ones from my list.
I was going to say, not a single one of mine was on it, so.
All right. Speaking of your list.
Yes.
What you got for us?
All right. Coming in at number five, because I always have to find a way to work my soap operas in, Precious, the orangutan nurse from Passions. She was Edna Wallace's nurse. Edna was mother to the crazy Beth who kidnapped Sheridan and tried to come between her and Luis, but Precious also fell in love with Luis as well.
Scandalosa.
Precious, no.
Precious. Yes. Did Precious talk?
No, Precious did not actually talk.
How did we know Precious was in love with whatever
I can't remember if we got thought bubbles or if Precious was just all over him. And Precious would sometimes stop Beth from doing things.
Oh, okay. Passions. What good television.
Yes.
Speaking of my stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I thought about choosing Fluffy, the giant cat Tabitha held somewhere in her house. That was always, fighting with Timmy, the doll.
Yes. Or you could have also picked Marlena when she got turned into the panther.
Well, she wasn't a pet.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Or a sidekick. She was just doing it all her own.
She was her own thing.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, Precious Orangutan Nurse. Number four is from several things, but I remember it most from the actual cartoon that came on Cartoon Network when we were younger, Crypto the Super Dog.
Crypto.
Yeah, that song, The Super Dog.
Wasn't there also like a show that, because was Crypto the show where it was just about him and the other super dogs?
That's Crypto the Super Dog.
Okay.
There was the cartoon.
A Wonder Woman dog and stuff like that.
And the Batman dog. Yeah, and it was mainly like the Batman dog was kind of his adversary sometimes, but they would defeat like the Joker's dog or something sometimes, or like Luther's dog.
God, such an who knew that the underworld of dogs was so complex?
Listen, there's
and one of them was a cat, too.
Yeah,
it was
I was
a cat
say,
superhero.
There was a cat one.
It better have been. I mean,
it's an equal opportunity superhero group. We have the one cat.
Dr. Emu.
Dr. Emu.
But yeah, that theme song always sticks to my head, so that's why I had to include Crypto on my list, even though I'm not a big Superman fan. But we've also get to see a live-action version in Titans.
I was going to say, Crypto normally is with Superboy now.
Yeah.
I have the entire run of Superboy when they redid the universe before it was like during the time frame when Bruce Wayne dies and Nightwing takes over as Batman. Uh-huh. It's during that time they started.
The New 52?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the new. I don't know if it's that or not, but the very first storyline had to deal with Poison Ivy, and so I got a subscription for that, and then I just kept going with it. So I have a bunch of Superboy.
Awesome. Next on my list, right in the middle, I had to include him. I almost forgot, but I had to include him because I love the show so much. Bandit from Johnny Quest.
Bandit.
And he is a sidekick because he oftentimes would just, like, they would be held at gunpoint. Bandit would jump up on the Was he a bad guy's arm?
Bulldog, a bulldog? What was he? A Boston Terrier?
Oh, goodness, I don't know. Like he was some type of bulldog.
It was like a little
2 feet wide thing. Yeah. In the real adventures, Bandit, in some episodes, it looks like he gets roughed up, but he always bounced back and was fine. But I don't remember exactly what he was.
I am going to say that Bandit had to have been like a bulldog. Mm-hmm. Looking at a picture of all of the different bandits right here, I would say that it's a bulldog.
What He's some type of bulldog.
What kind of dog was Bandit on Johnny Quest? Bulldog.
Yay!
Answer. Thank you, Wiki.
Yes. But yeah, I love Johnny Quest so much. I want to be Johnny Quest. I'm almost too old to play him.
You're Johnny Quest.
Yes. I don't want to get in that race bandit age yet.
Well, when we all are on the Legends of Hidden Temple game show that's coming out for adults, we'll be discovered, and you and I can both be in the Johnny Quest movie. Maybe I should be the villain. I've been wanting to try my hand at being a villain.
Yes. You can be Jeremiah, sir. But yeah, so that's Bandit. Next on my list, you know, going away from my Hanna-Barbera love, Porkchop from Doug.
Porkchop.
And I particularly, like, I've always liked Porkchop because the Christmas episode in Doug, you know, he saves BB, but of course he's like, he attacked me. And he goes to court. And it's in the original series because in the Disney version, Porkchop's still there thus far because I am rewatching it. He doesn't play a huge role, but he always has his act together. And if Doug would just listen to him, all of his little stupid problems would be solved.
It was Quail Man and what was Porkchop's?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Quail Man's not in the Disney version as much. I think he's made one appearance thus far, and I'm on episode 20-something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Disney Doug's a lot different than I remember. I play rage at it because there are a lot of things that are stupid and I don't understand why he likes Patty. She's always just yelling at him for something. And he is just kind of dumb in general, so he probably deserves it, but Patty isn't nice.
She's not nice. I always thought Roger and Patty should be together. I didn't care for her.
Quail dog.
No. Quail dog.
There we go.
That simple.
Duh.
But yeah, no, I like Porkchop a lot and he's cool. Finally, on my list, similar to Tom's, but different, and I have my reasoning, I chose Scooby Dumb as a favorite sidekick from the Scooby-Doo universe because I thought about Scooby-Doo, but then I justified myself. I'm like, well, Scooby-Doo's technically the star, so not really a sidekick.
I mean, he is the title of the show.
Yeah.
It's not Fred, Velma, Daphne, and Shaggy show.
Good point.
So that's why I chose Scooby Dumb, and Scooby Dumb was my favorite of the cousins that guest starred during that period of the 70s and early 80s.
Was he the one in overalls with the, like, the farmer hat on?
No.
No? Okay.
No, Scooby Dumb, he just wears, like, I think he just had a red hat, and he was always like, dum 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 dum.
And he'd be like, it's a clue. Like,
and it wouldn't be, or he'd find it very obviously. But yeah, Scooby-Dumb was great, and he was only in a few episodes, and part of me would love to see him back, but I also have strong feelings about what they're doing with Scooby-Doo these days, and rewriting Zombie Island, which was not cool.
What?
Yeah. Return, don't even do Return to Zombie Island.
Why would they return? They already ate the peppers and stopped the cat zombie.
Exactly.
Like, there's nothing to return to.
Uh-huh, and yeah, and Velma's unbearable these days. It's terrible.
Why is Velma unbearable?
Because she's dead. She has to prove everything is fake. And so when they go back to Zombie Island, like, in they're going through all that stuff again, and they're talking about how there were real ghosts. She says they were all just, like, breathing in swamp gas.
No.
Yeah.
Get out of here. That was the first...
It's such an insult to fans.
Oh, my gosh, no. That song at the beginning of Zombie Island when they're being chased.
Terror Time.
Yes, I listened to that. I would, like, rewind my VHS and watch it again and over. I love that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so like I said, I didn't talk about Scooby-Doo so much, but Scooby-Dumb is my favorite sidekick if I had to choose one of them. I did like Scooby-Dee, but she's only in one episode. And then we get the weird Scooby relatives that have relationships with humans.
I don't remember any of that.
Yeah, like there's one. Yeah, there's one who's like an Elvis impersonator, and all the women, the human women, love him.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's Elvis, come on.
Well, true, but he's a dog. So anyway, that is my list. I'm sorry, I have a few honorable mentions. I'm not going to go into detail, but I will just list them. Spike from Rugrats, Dino Mutt from Blue Falcon and Dino Mutt. I included Dino from the Flintstones. Scrappy-Doo I had to include because I do like some Scrappy. Pluto from Mickey and Disney, and of course Odie and Normal from Garfield.
Y'all just reminded me that I watched the new Rugrats.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I did too.
I have not.
Might be some for another episode.
That's okay. We could, yeah, we'll have to talk about it.
I'll watch it before next week's episode and we'll talk about it.
Got a lot of feelings on it.
Yeah, there are feelings.
Oh, great.
Good and bad.
Yeah.
One of the ones I forgot to say for my honorable mention was Pinky from Pinky and the Brain.
Pinky.
I mean, I know Brain was also an animal, but Pinky was an animal and a sidekick for sure.
I know they were mice, but I really want a white kitty named Pinky because white kitties have like the pink skin.
Mm-hmm. The albino, I think, because I don't think they're just white with the pink eyes. I think that it's like a form of albino.
Mm-hmm. I think it is too.
Well, this was a great week. I love animals. It was fun. I was a vet tech for a very, very, very long time before I switched careers. So I, of course, love animals. So I was like, yeah.
Dogs or cats?
Are you a dog person?
Yeah.
I have 4 dogs and 4 cats. So I can't say. I can't pick one.
Do you have one, Shane?
While I love both, I am more of a cat person. I identify with cats more. I've always had my spirit animal as a cheetah. So cats.
My spirit animal is probably, I know that I am a rabbit in the Chinese, and I've always loved foxes too, but I think my favorite animal of all time are red pandas.
Ooh.
I love red pandas.
My Patronus is a zebra.
How lovely for you. My Patronus, I'm pretty sure, is a rabbit. When I did the Pottermore test.
I haven't done a test. I've just decided.
Yeah, I haven't done a test.
Oh, I've just decided. Well, if that's the case, mine's a red panda. Boop, the end. But yeah, that was a great week.
It was.
It was a good one. Give us a follow on Instagram.
Just Instagram?
Instagram's the... Instagram.
We're really pushing for Instagram.
Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Instagram's more fun.
At Total Nerdlist. Mm-hmm. You can also email us at totalnerdlist@gmail.com.
Yes.
We want to hear from you. We want feedback.
We want to know what you like and what you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I know we've been doing a lot of Pokemon lately, but like I said, that's just been what we've been playing.
Pokemon's been fun.
Pokemon's been fun, and that's what we're here for.
Fun. Definitely want to give a shout out to our friend Jordy Marie Games. She's on Facebook Gaming, and she's also been doing some Twitch streaming, which has been a lot of fun to watch her. My buddy Willow Mountain Woodwork, of course, custom furniture, stuff like that. Shane, remind us the authors from last week.
We have Barry K. Nelson with the Mackenzie Files series. He also, I think it was Evil Walks was his standalone book.
Okay.
He also mentioned, and then Mr. Andrew Kerr, KJAR, with the Parallels of Time series.
Perfect. Pick those books up. Give our new friends a review. Let them know how much you love the book.
Mm-hmm. And as always, our friend Mason Blevins in his book, 34 Degrees.
Nice. I've been following an artist named Kimmy Spicer under the Instagram name Pinky_Pogo. Mm-hmm. But she does a lot of Pokemon art, collects Pokemon cards, but she's been doing some really cool gel pen drawings of the Pokemon. So check it out. Pretty cool, unique stuff. I've been enjoying finding all these artists doing cool Pokemon stuff
on
Instagram.
It's crazy the amount of talent that's out there with stuff that you love something specifically, and then there's 1,000 people out there to do custom special things.
Yes.
I really want to get a picture of, so I have a battle ready team. When I did Pokemon with a group of people and I was like a gym leader, my team, it was the Angel Blossom gym. Mm-hmm. My thing was all cute Pokemon. I really would love to get a picture drawn of me as a gym leader with my battle team.
Yes.
I think that would be super cool.
Hit up Bulbasaurion.
I know. I need to be able to justify the money, you know what I mean?
Birthday
there you and go. Stuff like that. But then I don't want to be, I want to get something for somebody else. I don't want to get, you get me mine and I'll get you yours. but this has been a good week.
It has.
Well, guys, I guess this is the end of this episode.
Yes.
We appreciate you guys listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.